And now, Capital 263.
Welcome to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farai Charamba.
My name is Upenyu Smoked Beef Makoni Matenga.
And I'm Tawanda Henry BT, and welcome to the best political podcast in the country. And to the comrade who says it's reserved for people with two names only, that's not the case. We shall soon be donating our names to those in need of more names.
we'll start our own party.
We'll start our own party. And that will be our campaign slogan. Mazita kuna munhu wese.
Mazita kuna munhu wese. Add to the multiple parties that are in existence and vying for seats. The multiple MDCs as well, and the multiple acting presidents. Actually, Panapa, I think you know what, in this group of ours, in this little constituency of ours, the three of us, takutofa nakuita leadership battle yedu to mirror the politics.
You can't because a woman is in charge.
Pardon?
I said you can't because a woman is in charge. Saka zvinongoramba zvakangodaro.
So you know.
Inindakaenda ku hospital ndakataura na leader ndakanzi ndini acting. Futi chaudza mama makadaro.
I would like to categorically state that it is my fiduciary duty to take control of Politics and Beyond and see through the activities of this podcast.
All of you are fired.
Wow.
How about that?
As you can imagine, today, what's the date today? Let's actually get into that.
Upenyu, let's do a vote of no confidence in Chris first. Then this was Kanaka said it was abandoned at 2 months.
You guys realize that the recording is happening on my side. So if I go, then everything stops and all the fire from the group and from everyone else waiting for an episode comes to you.
Who's Politics and Beyond? Their brand is bigger than one person. Okay, that's because your name is on the logo. Your face is on the logo.
I hope you realize that when the podcast starts, it's my name and my voice that goes first.
We can change that.
It knows the changer.
But the thing is, I'm the one who I'm the one who records.
I'm the one that keeps the sandwich together and makes it. So you know, no.
Anyway, we'll take our internal squabbles elsewhere. There are internal squabbles of other parties that we need to discuss. Today is Sunday, the 11th of February. I think the episode should actually be out today. So as we cook, we shall release to the world. And on the podcast today, we'll discuss what's happening in the MDC, MDCT, MDC Alliance. I don't know which moniker it's going under right now. And then we will look at what's happening also ku ZANU-PF, all of this talk of $3 billion in FDI. You have Mai Mnangagwa, who is no longer running, and all the distraught women that were throwing themselves to the ground. And then we'll also look at Justice Chigumba in brief. She had an interview in the Sunday Mail and was talking about ZEC and what the processes are leading up to the elections. So we'll give some useful information with that regard. Right. Whose side are you on, guys? Chinukuna Chamisa, Mudzuri, or Kupe?
Nobody. I think they should all just go. Just go.
Opinion.
What? I thought that made perfect sense.
Yeah, and then who remains? What happens?
I thought voted a bizan and a upper. Wow. The MDC is splitting the vote, in fact, taking away from the real opposition, because these internal squabbles show us that they're just children. They can go keep Changirai company in the hospital. I heard he's by himself.
Who is the real opposition?
There is no real opposition. That's exactly the point. But let the children grow up. So later na apa ngawambokuro mbichana instead of trying to big brother them and bully them into joining your silly alliance. Which, by the way, who's the leader of that again?
Morgan Tsvangirai.
Exactly. Morgan Tsvangirai has colon cancer. You know that's the most aggressive form of cancer. Or it's one of the most aggressive forms of cancer.
But he's so the leader. You asked a question and I answered it. And in his absence, one of Mudzuri, Chamisa, or
Chamisa is acting. Chamisa is acting president.
By virtue of the fact that Mudzuri and Kupe are not in the country.
But yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's location based.
At the current moment, yes.
Upenyu, please. Please, I don't know.
But
your hate for MDC makes it. Your hate for MDC makes you sometimes lose logic. The country, the party is based in Zimbabwe. How can you be an acting? How can you be president when you're not in the country? Even Mugabe, when you used to travel, you'd leave a resident vice president
He had a real country to run. But tell me, what is the MDC running? Because currently they're not even running themselves.
They're running.
What are they running?
They're
right
campaigning.
They're campaigning. The day-to-day business of the party still goes on, guys. How can you give someone with that?
How are they campaigning? By de-campaigning each other. Chamisa is not... guys.
No, okay.
You need cohesiveness at the top, for it to be cohesive with
that's,
the masses.
Yeah, okay, that's something we can talk about.
That's besides the point.
That is exactly the point.
How can you ask what are they running? We were talking about an acting president. The acting president has been left is Chamisa. I don't understand what you're failing to. Why that's a bad thing. You can't say Kutipachi is non-existent when there are people still going to work every day in Harvey's house. Whether you think they're doing something or not is regardless of the fact that the party is in existence.
Okay.
Are those people being paid? Who's signing the checks for those people?
Besides the point.
Yeah, let's be objective, right? Obviously, they have a structure. The MDC isn't run out of a tuck shop. Somebody, you know, they have a finance department. They have all those things. We assume that they are being paid. I believe they are being paid. Surely they must be. If not, then they're doing it for the love of the MDC and for the desire to win the elections. But we have an issue regarding the acting presidency. By virtue of the fact that Chamisa is in the country, and this goes for any other political party, any other political system, when the president is away, whoever the vice president is remains acting. Mudzuri, however, did come out and say he had a meeting with Morgan Tsvangirai in the hospital. His family also confirmed that the meeting did take place, and Mudzuri said that he is still the acting. Obviously, how do you act from outside the country? We can debate on that. And then there were posters. MDC is having a rally in Mashingo today. MDC Alliance, Chamisa's there, BT's there, Welshman is there, and the other four alliance partners. There was a picture of a poster that came up today that said let me actually see if I can pull it up quickly so that I can
just don't be fooled, reject the alliance. Atidi Chamisa ne alliance yake Mashingo ino mira na Mudzuri. Anodiwa na Sawe. Let your voice be heard. Chakachaya 2018.
Right. So you have that going on. So you have the MDC currently, as it seems, campaigning against each other, and there were Twitter remarks. Mudzuri posted something about him being acting president. Kupe posted something else about herself being acting president. She's been in Cape Town. She was meeting with Maim Juru, if I'm not mistaken.
Mudzuri was at that meeting as well.
Mudzuri was at that meeting. What's his name? Where is Zapu? Dumiso Dabengwa was at that meeting as well. They call it the Rainbow Coalition. So you have the MDC, which is currently split in two coalitions, the Alliance and the Rainbow Coalition. You have all three of them.
No. The MDC is not part of the People's Rainbow Coalition that's led by Joyce Mujuru. Those guys went to a meeting to discuss another coalition, but they didn't join it. As far as we know, they haven't joined anything.
Okay.
So it's a coalition on top of a coalition.
Yeah, that's what was always going to work. You build incrementally, Kaupenyu.
Admit kuti Mombedza pinda mumunda and no one apana ari kuda kudzidzinga at this point in the MDC? Can we please just be honest with everyone? Mombedza pinda mumunda, guys. You cannot have a party internally decampaigning
each other, a
leader of the party.
Yeah.
That's a serious issue. We're going to have my elections in less than, 5 months? And Twitter my posters kuti takamira na mudzuri ndiye ari kusupportwa na Save. Ndocho kwade chacho.
3 months ago gatanchiseka tanchiseka one boy being arrested for booing Grace Mugabe rally. This is what happens in politics. It's politics. I don't see why
you're a commentator.
Bernie Sanders supporters were going to Hillary Clinton rallies and shouting at her and holding up signs saying crooked Hillary. That's where it came from, Bernie Sanders supporters. So that's what happens in politics.
So this is the thing, right? Is I completely understand that. If there were primary elections going forward for the leadership of the MDC, this was all part of the campaign, it would be great. But the MDC is trying to build an alliance here. It's already had many factions, and we spoke about this last week of breakaways, and now people are trying to come together to build an alliance to go forward in the 2018 elections. But it seems that within itself, they are working against that, or there are people within the MDC working against that. And it's something that they need to resolve sooner rather than later. This isn't like the Bernie Sanders Hillary situation where the primaries take place a whole year before the campaigning for the actual presidential election takes place, or however long it is. You're going into the presidential election, which means you must be united in campaigning for your side, one side, against ZANU-PF or against Mnangagwa. Right now they are fighting an internal battle, while ZANU-PF is going to be mobilizing itself, it's going to be getting its stuff in order, going towards the election. How long are they going to take doing this politics, this internal politics, before an election actually takes place? Will they then come together 2 months? Will it be 2 months? Will it be a month before? Will it be a week before?
You know what? The MDC isn't even going to come together. It's going to go and then appeal the election result and say, no, it wasn't free, it wasn't fair, intimidation. Which may be true, but because people weren't together, no one understood we're going to war. An election in this country is war. No one in the MDC seems to understand that. So when people start to make excuses after the election results have been announced, then they're poor and weak excuses. Dai manga mashika kuma polls, makarongeka, tichizoti, we're following Mudzuri, we're following Chamisa, we're even following Morgan Tsvangirai in his hospital bed. Zviri nani. But at this point, I'm sorry, I have no faith in this party to get it together by the time it's election time. And I guarantee you there's going to be excuses.
It's interesting that you feel so strongly about this, and I understand how disappointing it is, but if you were to take a step back and relax and let's look at it objectively, this leadership struggle has been triggered by the fact that Tsvangirai's health has now gotten to a point where it's seeming that he's unlikely to be able to run this election. Mm-hmm. So now the stakes are much higher than they were before. Before it was always, yes, fine, he's ill, but he'll be likely to run the election. The stakes are much higher. That's why it's gotten to this point. Secondly, the reason it's so ugly and it's happening so quickly is because they understand how important it is to put their best foot forward. And at the end of the day, whoever comes out on top for this, it's almost like one language ganana. So the weak will fall to the wayside and the strong will survive. So if Chamisa can't fight off this challenge internally, then he will never be able to win a national election. So if he can survive this, then I think personally, especially and take control of the party, I think personally he'll be in a better position to win elections going forward,
but
the party justice.
But will the party itself remain strong is the question. Exactly. How many of the people will then, how many of Mutsuri's people will break away? How many of Kupe's people will break away? How will that affect the power dynamic within the party?
You see, that's another thing is that I, with Mukupe, at least you know Bebe and you know Love Momo and those people you know. I don't know if you can give me one person.
I don't know. Well, I wonder where Obet is. Whose side is?
Yeah, Obet I don't. Kutuwa? And those are the things that I don't know. And that's a question we must all be asking. Is because you guys realize that there's one person on the ground. There's one person who stayed in Zim. There's one person who can walk in and out of Harvest House. There's one person right now, as we speak right now on Sunday in Mashingo right now, addressing MDC for the most part supporters.
Mm. No,
so if I have access to a Twitter account and I have access to through you know the first daughter-in-law or whatever to Changira and I'm in South Africa, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm that powerful.
No,
so and then for me,
can we just give a shout out to Diana Changira since you mentioned her? Sorry, quickly.
For
Ella.
For?
Because she's a bomb murora. She's a boss. I saw her being interviewed by the SABC, and you know, shame. Her husband is, you know, in an emotional place. He's all in his feels because that's his dad. The other family members, like the men, just don't have the words. And there she is. She's ripping the family. You know, you can argue with me about this, but she's ripping the family. She's saying the words to the media. And I really respect that because, you know, Seva Roraka, as a former Murora myself, that's not an easy position to be with. So I want to shout her out and say, Asando Kunai.
Stay out of party politics.
Stay out of party
politics. Stay out of party politics.
You can talk to media all you want. Stay out of party
politics. Yeah, that's not your fight.
Because you know what? Varora no manya manya kana varumu atads. That's actually the honest truth. When the husbands can't, that's when the varora start to run around. So you all need to think about that as well.
The thing is, you guys can attack all you want, but honestly, like, let's actually look at people's actions. Zurundi, I went and visited Changire, and I'm still acting president. Chamisa Kangoti, there's media reports. Luke Tamburika, who's Changire said himself is the person he's going to be speaking through. The MDC website, the MDC official account said Chamisa is acting president. That's what he was told. That's what everyone else was
listening to. The way I see it, Chamisa is definitely the front runner as things stand. Number one, for the things you've mentioned, he's on the ground. He's actually out there campaigning. He's doing the work. Everyone else seems to be, you know, pie in the sky, living their dreams, going to South Africa and all sorts of things. But we have to discuss the fact that the crisis in the MDC is born out of the fact that they have failed at constitutionalism.
Yes.
And this is something I spoke about last week in the sense that MDC seems to have all these breakaways, and it was in lieu of questioning, you know, how democratic is the MDC as a champion of democracy. Magaisa then wrote about it as well this week. And he, you know, he mentioned the appointment of two VPs, Mutsuri and Chamisa, was done anti-constitutionally or against the constitution of the MDC. I don't know if it was rectified by the National Council.
It was retrospectively rectified.
Right? But the...
It was retrospectively rubber-stamped. It
was still done unconstitutionally. That's the first thing. The second thing is that whilst they rectified it retrospectively, they didn't then stipulate or amend the constitution to decide how it would be governed. In terms of how power would be shared in the event of, you know, one of these situations where the principal is incapacitated. So you have to beg in how forward-thinking the MDC was in terms of their own internal constitutional dynamics, because they've then got this crisis on their hands, and this is something that really should have been anticipated because of the fact that their constitution, if I'm not mistaken, only had one VP, and it speaks about one VP in the event that is incapacitated. And now dealing with this issue is very difficult because Changirai, as things stand, there seems to be no improvement, or we haven't heard of any improvement in terms of whether he's going to run or not. So at some point when nomination court comes round, which could be any time within the next 2 or 3 months, they're going to have to decide whose name is going on the ballot. And how are they going to do that? Are they going to have an extraordinary Congress? Are they just going to let them, you know, beat each other up in a ring, and then whoever comes out on top does it? Is the vanguard going to decide? How do you come to the position of how we move forward as the MDC? This is something...
All of the above.
This is, yeah.
But
even if it's all of the above,
that's what's going to... No, if there's an extraordinary Congress triggered today, the vanguard will decide by locking people outside of Harvest House, and then they're going to keep beating each other up in the press, and whoever's going to come out on top. All three things will happen simultaneously.
It's such a sad, you know, again, I'll come to champions of democracy, it's such a sad... you know, state that they find themselves in. I blame Changirai. It's all his fault, as far as I'm concerned. You know, I wish him well in his recovery process.
The fish rots from the head.
But I blame him because he really should have, and other people left the party because of his leadership, as far as I'm concerned, the likes of TB and Mangoma. But it really, he brought the MDC to this situation, and I don't know how they're going to resolve it, but from his hospital bed, he's going to have to do something and actually just make it clear that, look, I'm stepping back. Let's just go to a Congress. Let you guys sort it out and deal with it. Because if they do not, I don't see them doing well going forward in the elections.
Shoe up, do up. Everything Chris said. This is just poor. Poor, poor. Let's move on.
Wow.
I love how you reserve your vitriol for the MDC.
MDC has no power, and I don't understand you? Why you have a power struggle with no power. How does that? You know, it's like fighting over a car you don't own. It's like children saying, oh, no, that's my car, that's my... It's not your car. You don't have the keys. In this case, none of these people has the keys. Morgan Tsvangirai himself does not have the keys. He had to wait for Mnangagwa to come to his house to go and get medical treatment. This is really the situation that MDC is in. And now people are fighting over things that they don't even have. They're going to an election where they have a chance at least to get a seat at the table, but they can't even decide who's going to be running, where and how.
But
that's deeply disappointing.
Why are you not acknowledging the fact that generally, look at South Africa, and Zuma is no longer the president of ANC, and they're still having succession issues as we speak. It's not an easy thing. This is just simply a political process that happens everywhere. It's ugly.
Normalizing it is saying it's normal everywhere.
Henry.
Because you know what? The point is we need to aspire to better. That's actually the whole point. That's the vision of the MDC. That we must aspire to better.
I'm not saying.
And it's worse than ZANU-PF. All they're missing is a Grace Mugabe, to be honest.
Let's not push the envelope like that.
ZANU-PF succession issues almost ruined this country for the last 15 years.
ZANU-PF succession
you even
issues put
to?
Tanks on
seriously.
The tanks onto the streets.
DC has replicated ZANU-PF.
General came onto the streets. No, Penny, let's not go that far. But what I wanted to say, Henry, is that whilst I understand that, you know, internal issues happen all over the world with political parties, political systems, the issue here is not that they're having these internal issues. The issue is that they've known what the situation has been for a while, and they didn't make contingencies for it. When Changirai first announced that he had cancer, obviously you don't want to think that somebody is going to die or, you know, whatever, you know, something awful is going to happen. But you make contingencies in the event that something like that happens. They never did so. They are now approaching an election and they're dealing with it. Zuma, yes, he's no longer president of the ANC and they want him to resign. But as far as the ANC are concerned, they're still 18 months out from the election. Zuma still has, he can stay, they can deal with it. You know, they have a long while for them to deal with the issue. MDC doesn't have that time, and they knew this was a possibility. They didn't prepare for that possibility.
Yeah, of course. What I'm saying is that you can't simultaneously complain about the fact that they don't have a leader and then complain about the process of them dealing with it. They are complaining about the fact Tsvangirai is sick. We've said this a long time. Now something is happening about who's going to lead the MDC. Let it happen.
No, obviously you let it happen, but you can criticize it because...
Okay.
Because this is something that they could have dealt with. Also, the way in which it's happening isn't, I don't see it as being beneficial towards the alliance. There should be better ways of dealing with this issue than the way it's being dealt with now. I mean, for someone to come out with an actual poster that says, against a vice president, against someone that you're supposed to be with in the alliance, against somebody within your own party, that whether he made it or not, or it's his people, I just need to find it again.
Who is the military police?
You know, it really could be, but you know, this is something you then shut down. Mudzuri should have, as soon as he comes, as it comes out, he should be all over saying, "Kuti, it's not me, it's not my people." But he's quiet, and they're just going to go.
Yeah,
so you can definitely criticize the process.
No, what? A quick primer, like at the end of the day, like you said, it does really fall down at the feet of Tsvangirai. Because remember what happened was when he said to the world, "I'm sick, I've got cancer." Then a few weeks later, because the moves had begun, a few weeks later is when he decided to appoint Mudzuri and Chamisa as VPs. Mm-hmm. The reason he did that was to nullify any potential leadership challenge by bringing them into the presidium.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you've said there's been many splits and lots of people have left the MDC has been because of the way Tsvangirai leads. And because of the way Tsvangirai leads is why you have a situation where no one would step up when he's not fully incapacitated like he is now. Because the second you put your head above water, Tsvangirai chops it off. The second mm-hmm. you disagree with him publicly, Tsvangirai chops it off. So at the end of the day, the best thing that could happen, whatever happens, is that Tsvangirai is no longer leader of the MDC.
But the MDC has been made in his image, and so the MDC itself has to die.
I don't
think Tsvangirai has amended his own constitution to allow himself to do whatever he wants.
Mugabe was considered one center of power.
Mugabe was one center of power.
These people voted. They came out. My chairman, Wobo, 9 out of 10 said, Pasina ED, ED
wait
out.
And
then
see.
2 weeks later,
wait
they all...
The ED no. is also one center of power. Miraimon.
No,
but,
listen,
no, but
I'm
you
not,
can't
I'm,
say that the
I'm
MDC
not,
will...
You can't say the party
can't
going to die or has to die.
It has to die. Because as it currently is, it's not furthering the democratic project, which
if
is its founding.
It only needs to reform.
If you're speaking in a metaphorical, it has to die and rise from the ashes.
Burn it to the ground. Burn it. Pee on its ashes and move on.
Wow, you know. I can't. I honestly can't. And I don't even support the MDC, but I'm just going to come out and say, Kuti, no, this is, I can't stand by you. I can't stand by your opinion. I can't. I really can't. Wow.
Are you drinking rosé?
Anyway, let's move on because we spent a good while on this, and we'll definitely.
Come on, Hansi, you too, dear man.
We'll be watching to see what happens with this issue. I really hope they resolve it. As far as I'm concerned, from my side, Chinu kuna chamisa, chamisa ngapi wechitanda. You know, we are team Cobra. No, I'm team. No, I got.
You know what chamisa said today? Upenyu, you know what chamisa said today?
What did he say?
Chamisa said, don't allow them to call you a leader of tomorrow. Because they're going to destroy tomorrow and promise you what they've destroyed.
Chamisa!
At least he made Nero! More sense than he did to
Nero. Nero! We are Wero with Nero!
Cobra Panyanga!
Pasna Nero Mamero! Anyway, yeah. No, I didn't. Chin kuna chamisa. Vamwevesava, they can go sit by hospital beds and enjoy the view from Cape Town.
He's not even known at his own bar, bro. I don't think that you could ID him about some dana, but Bawaragera, I know.
Speaking about other things, the head of state has been making statements. He's been going on the campaign trail, actually. I think he was in Vuma yesterday, and he was in Mash East last week. And one of the statements he made was in Kurube, I think, where he was that Zimbabwe has attracted $3 billion of FDI in the past 7 weeks. This was in Mash Central. Yeah, Mash Central at Sialima Primary School. And the quote, to quote him directly, "We have secured more than $3 billion in foreign direct investment in 7 weeks. We want this country to move forward. We want jobs for our children. For a start, we are addressing the production levels of agriculture, where we are modernizing all forms of production. We will move into modernizing the process chain." And then he spoke about other people, other places where they have irrigation schemes going on and all sorts of things about the budget and, yeah. Upenyu, I know you have a rant that you would like to go on. Speak.
So in 7 weeks, they've effectively doubled the size of the Zimbabwean economy. In 7 weeks, they've attracted $3 billion in investment. Can I just point out that the $1.5 billion that was signed over, what was it? I'll find it just now, last week, created 500 jobs. So $3 billion is going to create exactly how many jobs? And when we say $3 billion in investment, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean that somebody is actually bringing a bag of $3 billion single dollar notes and giving them to John Mangujka to say, put them in the Reserve Bank? What, you know, is that going to be taxed? Does it go to the fiscus? Is that money going to go and buy ambulances, medicines, pay people like teachers and doctors and nurses and the guys who are supposed to be cleaning up the streets? What does that mean, $3 billion? Because tossing out these numbers, as politicians are now doing willy-nilly, means nothing to the ordinary person. It doesn't translate to anything real for the ordinary person. And that really pisses me off. What really, really pisses me off, however, is when the Herald is like, $3 billion. And then there's no analysis. There's no unpacking what exactly that means for the ordinary person. $3 billion kungo taura, it's not real money. I'm done. Rant over.
Moving on to the next topic.
Hey, sorry, while we're still...
No, I'm joking. Well, carry on.
While we're there, are you so... I mean... Sorry. Mm-hmm. Not so much about the $3 billion, but did you also see? I just wanted to ask what you guys thought about Chitando saying that he is going to waiver the 51% ownership or indigenization rule for mining companies.
That's what they've said for the start, because they're changing the, what do you call it, Ka? The laws.
It's the
for
mining. I thought mining was the only one that they were going to keep.
Diamonds and platinum. Are the only ones within the mining industry that are going to remain under 51% under indigenization. Everything else is
the other way around.
No.
Diamond and platinum was exempted from being under 51%.
No, diamonds and platinum remain under 51%.
Everything else is open. I'm reading an article from Bloomberg. They're the ones, diamonds and platinums are the one being exempted.
It can't be, because ED said, let me see if I can even pull up the FT interview to quote the president directly.
I'm quoting Chitando in Cape Town.
Then he must have been misquoted, because diamonds and platinums should be the ones 51% that are still under.
He literally says the law provides flexibility and would be willing to consider something acceptable to the government for companies mining diamonds and platinum.
Should be able to consider something.
Any proposals for companies that are mining diamonds and platinum. So he's saying we're flexible.
Yeah, but those are the ones that traditionally are going to remain under 51%. Everything else ED said was open. But let me I'm not a crocodile.
Okay, no. So you're saying
so I'm saying indigenization is being scrapped.
Yeah.
Except
to a certain extent.
Except for diamonds and platinum.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, let me. But yeah, carry on. You can make your point whilst I'm looking this.
No, time. I just find it interesting.
Carry on. You're saying?
No. I just found. Because that's the art. I only saw. I thought that they were talking about diamond and platinum only, that's what I saw, and I was like, okay, cool. Hey, look, it's a good move. I've always been anti-indigenization, but let's hope that they get favorable terms for the people who are going to come in and mine. That's really about it.
So on the issue of what were we discussing? We were discussing Upenyu's rant.
$3 billion in investment.
So I completely agree. I think the biggest issue is that our politicians are very, extravagant with the things that they say. We've seen it many times in ZANU-PF. Chamisa did it as well. For the first time, I saw him do it. And it then gets reported in such a fashion, and state media is very criminal for this, in such a fashion that these things are happening now, they're happening tomorrow, mega deals, so much billions of investment, and it creates this perception, a very false perception of what's actually happening on the ground. It could have been that there were $3 billion worth of, expressions of interest. People actually just trying to find out where investment opportunities are and saying, you know what, we might be able to we might be keen on that. But obviously there's no way in 7 weeks $3 billion has just, miraculously entered our economy. It doesn't even make sense. Any company just doing due diligence alone takes longer than 7 weeks that they're talking about. So we really, within this new dispensation, they need to get their messaging right. I understand, you're out Kumarua Oko and you want to, impress the voters and you think such statements will work. But there's a way to put that across without being sensational, because then it gets reported in the media and it goes beyond that, and you end up making these things. It's like 2.2 million jobs all over again, which even went into...
Or 15 billion from Trump.
Or 15 billion from Trump. Yeah, no, exactly like this. So people need to get their message.
So now all is forgiven. 15 billion.
No.
But I completely agree as well.
Let's just call it even. Let's just call it even, okay, guys?
I completely agree.
But Javisa gets 15 billion and we get 3. What's that?
I completely agree, Upenyu, in terms of the fact that the media need to do a better job. They do need to do a better... They need to take a more critical stance, a more objective stance. They need... Right now, what people need is facts. People need to understand what's actually happening, because we're going to a very uncertain space. If we're just looking at the fact that we've gotten rid of Mugabe for the first thing, people are very unsure about how the future, what the future is going to look like. So we need a media that is actually on the ball, that is actually going to play the role of the fourth estate that it's supposed to, that is actually going to, you know, be the watchdog, that is going to give space to people. And I hope that this is, this one, I hope that state media takes, you know, the initiative, hopefully. If they don't, I hope that all the private players themselves also, you know, they, there's a bit of sensationalism, a bit, I say that euphemistically, that happens as well in the private media space, and they need to step up. Everyone needs to step up and say, guys, let's work for Zimbabwe. Let's look at, you know, what it is we're saying. Let's look at what it is we're discussing and how we're discussing these things and how we can push the agenda, the Zimbabwe agenda, forward.
I agree with you. Yeah. I think, but also in terms of just how, because, you know, the whole thing about the march and the Nota coup was about breaking a cycle. And this was the 37-year-old cycle, the circle of hell, actually, that we inhabited with Mugabe, which led to hyperbole, which led to exaggeration, and which led to the current situation that we're in economically. And when a whole president continues to perpetuate, and no one is saying that, you know, Mnangagwa needs to be different from Mugabe, but if he's saying that he wants to do things differently, you know, by showing up on time, by giving short speeches that are digestible, for instance, then when campaigning, $1 billion means nothing, because it wasn't that long ago when I had a $1 billion note in my pocket, right? But if you're saying to me that it's going to create 100 Bars. Jobs, that's something I can understand, right? If you're saying to me that, oh my God, I'm so sorry, that's my son. If you're Hello. Saying to me, he can't hear you.
Oh, you have headphones.
But if you're saying it's going to contribute X amount towards the fiscus in terms of taxes, that's something I can understand, right? Regardless of whether or not you then buy Chief Charumbira another Prado. It, you know, I need to know where it's coming and how it's going and how exactly it's going to benefit me. But to throw out these big numbers, $3 billion, we've made $3 billion in 7 weeks, means absolutely nothing. And it just means that we're continuing in the same way. And 20 years from now, 37 years from now, I'm going to have to go to another march to remove Mnangagwa Wadju.
I was going to say something.
Your Sunday is going to be at that march.
It will be pushing me in my wheelchair.
And just to quote him from the
SP, you know, the thing is, it's funny, but it might just happen like that. Maybe not ED, but certainly Chiwenga.
Yeah.
And the little man says yes.
He knows.
Anyway, just to quote, I found the quote. It says the entire economy is open except for two minerals, diamonds and platinum. The rest is open. So that was that. Speaking of other things happening at rallies, President said yesterday that my Mnangagwa, Auxilia Mnangagwa, would not be running in the 2018 elections. She holds the seat in Chirumanzi, I think.
Chirumanzi South or something, Chirumanzi, isn't it? The seat that they created for them. Their family seat, they created it for himself because he was the MP before her.
And then she, when he became vice president, she ran and she won the seat.
And now she's
very
going to
parliamentary seat.
And now she's not going to run. Oh, but the interesting
Valentine's Day is around the corner, so I don't know who's quoting you, but if there's someone out there, who listens,
hey, you know, my price, I don't come cheap.
Get her a parliamentary seat. Wow.
If you burn down the MDC, that counts as well.
So why, Benyu? Those are statements that those are statements figuratively, I hope you mean, not literally.
No, don't burn down Harvest House. That's arson.
Yeah.
That's
he says he's not she's not going to take the seat. The interesting thing that then happened there was you had these women who were wailing as if and they were, you know, really crying and throwing themselves to the ground, and it was this dramatized thing of no, don't leave us, and we want you to stay, and it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, and I have no idea why anyone would have, you know, planted. That was planted. That was staged, obviously.
You know, I actually don't think it was staged. I think they actually just did that of their own volition, because, you know,
that's how
things like that, you get rewarded. Yeah. I don't think anyone said Moso Chemaganavati
Awaskusozok. But wow,
yeah,
it was
got
so
an extra
ridiculous
bag of rice.
It was
I don't know
what you
were. And they must have met her afterwards, and she would have hugged them and given them kind of like $20 more.
I suppose so, yeah.
But
is it true
that Emerson, one of the Emerson juniors, is thinking of running as well?
It came out in the media, and he then came out and categorically denied it. He said, nope, business over politics. That's what I'm interested in. And I really don't think that he will. Obviously, I think he's interested in politics. I mean, we can speak about the Mnangagwa family and where all his different children are posted and how, you know, that whole setup is. I think he's...
We'll have a three-hour podcast.
We would have quite a long one. But I think he has an interest in politics. He won't do it now because of this whole dynasty thing. You know, the optics are bad, which is why Mai Mnangagwa was, you know, withdrawing from parliament as well, so that she's not accused of wanting to then, you know, usurp power at some point. The son as well, if he has interest...
I mean,
now
you think that's
now
why she's... I don't know, man. I'm a bit torn about her resigning. On one hand, I think it's commendable, because clearly in Zimbabwe, as Zimbabweans, we don't have a culture of resigning.
Yeah.
She's really showing true leadership by resigning. But at the same time, I guess maybe not so much for her, but I would like to think when you're given a mandate as a parliamentarian, you take it seriously, and you...
No, but is she not going
but
to...
But was she really given a mandate, or did she just take over her husband's constituency?
And also,
because those are
just
two different things.
Is she not just...
Yeah, no, I'm...
What's
happening is I'm moving from the specific to more the general.
Okay.
So maybe not necessarily discussing her, but I just... Yeah, anyway, I just feel it's a bit... It's the same thing like with what will happen, to use another example, what will happen if Temba Mlisiwa rejoins ZANU, and ZANU makes him run in Urungwe West because they're freeing up Norton from Mtswangwa. I think that it's a
politics,
bit disrespectful
comrade,
to the electorate.
It's politics, though.
Mm. No, in school, but I'm not refusing that it's politics.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Speaking of resignations, we had another one. Justice Makarao resigned from the JSC, Judicial Services Commission. She was the acting...
Did you say the JSC, Blas?
He did say the JSC.
Wow,
and I was like, okay.
Wow.
The JSC.
JSC. I knew, because I wanted to... Anyway, yeah, the JSC. I knew I wanted to say something, and I was like, that sounds so wrong. But anyway, the JSC... because I wanted to say ZSC, but ZSC doesn't make sense. Anyway, the JSC, Judicial Services Commission, again, she didn't state why she's doing it, but now she's just at the Supreme Court, I think.
So she's resigned from two jobs in 2 weeks and still has a job.
Basically, yeah.
ZANU-PF working hard to give us those 0.2 million jobs.
Two million jobs.
You see, two jobs created. One has been filled. Justice Chigumba filled.
The new disposition.
You know what I'm saying. Justice Chigumba filled the post of, you know, Nsichi? Chairperson of ZEC. And
of,
she had in...
Of ZSC.
ZSC. Now we have a Z. She was speaking in Sunday Mail. They had an interview with her, you know, about the elections and what her strategies are. A couple of things she said. She says she was asked, "What is your general strategy?" She says, "Past elections in Zimbabwe have been conducted under a politically polarized environment. This was clear even in the biased media reports in previous elections. The issue of polarization is one which I see as a major challenge to the electoral environment, as it potentially fans politically motivated violence and a lack of tolerance by opposing parties. And so she says that she intends to work with all political parties to avoid such a situation. She's going to follow the laws of the Electoral Act. She was asked about electoral reforms, and let me just see. She says the issue of electoral reforms is the responsibility of the legislature. We have made recommendations to them through the Ministry of Justice, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs. I encourage all political parties who have provisions they want amended to lobby Parliament to have the same electoral laws and regulations amended. And then she went through the process of what's coming next in terms of, you know, the timeline. She says, having completed the BVR, commission is now going to work on cleaning up and deduplication of data, production of provisional voters' roll, inspection of voters' roll and attending queries and objections by electorate, proclamation of electoral date, which is up to the president, sitting of nomination courts, production of the final voters' roll, accreditation of observers, establishment of multi-party liaison committees, monitoring of media coverage of political parties and candidates, training of electoral officers, setting up polling stations, polling, announcement of results. And then there was one other thing that I wanted to mention, but you can speak on this and then I'll get to it if I find it.
Look, she talks a good game.
They all say that. Free and fair elections. We're gonna work hard. Wada. The interesting thing was what she said about the legislature creating a fair environment, though.
No, the legislature, she said, has the mandate to change the electoral laws.
Yes, exactly. Given that, although to be fair, ZANU-PF has a majority in parliament right now, and I do not think that ZANU-PF is interested in legislating itself out of power. So, you know, it will be what it will be. But that being said, I also don't see the opposition making any effort in parliament to amend the electoral laws either.
She mentioned something on the finances. She said that ZEC asked for 148 million and so far they've only got a 98 million. So she says she's still going to encourage the state to make sure that they get money. But also she encouraged local businesses to support the ZEC. Yes. I have to be careful with my acronyms. And then she said something about as well that it's so we've got up to 70% of voter population that is registered according to the Zimstat projection. And she mentioned that the voters, this had to do with voter slips. I can't find it, but it has to do with something of the fact that your voter slips were just a confirmation that you've registered and that you wouldn't need them on registration day. And I'm assuming that it's your fingerprint that's going to identify you or everything else. But I need to find the actual quote, but it's somewhere here.
Well, the guy tells you that when you register.
Yeah,
so that it's just a confirmation. You don't necessarily need it when you come to vote. I think you're supposed to bring your ID when you come to vote.
Yeah, so she said people shouldn't be handing... Number one, don't go out and give people your voter registration slip numbers. But also that the voter registration slip is just... It's like a receipt. It's not particularly important when you then go and vote. So people shouldn't feel intimidated, or people shouldn't, you know, not worry so much about people asking for your voter registration slips, but people shouldn't think that it is more important than what it actually is. And also don't go out and give people your voter registration slips.
Well, I mean, on the subject of people intimidating other people by asking for their serial numbers, what is ZEC doing exactly? Isn't this illegal? Because there's a policeman outside the Sorry, Tawanda, sorry.
No, but...
But there's a policeman outside the registration center.
But it's not I've happening outside them. The registration center, ka? It's what Zogera Kumba, and then people come to your house and they knock, and then they come and say,
In some cases, I heard reports, Kuti, it was happening right outside the registration. Give me your serial number. And these people have my exercise books that they're writing them down in.
Well, then these are things that should be reported one directly to Zeka. I don't know if she says so in here. I might be thinking of something else. But, you know, those who have evidence of these things happening should take it to Zek and, you know, lodge formal complaints, take it to the courts, take it however far you can take it there. It's no use just raising the issue on Twitter or on Facebook or in WhatsApp groups. Actually, take legal action against it. Make sure that there are formal reports, that these things are documented in a specific way so that... Hey, Chirungu Chandi Chadza Nasi. But make sure that they are in certain places. So if a time comes that you want to then challenge the election, you have all these things that say, we went through all these channels, we took all these steps, rather than try to, you know, do things retrospectively, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, they're too busy fighting each other. For a member, wana biza, nana...
Apa.
Nana Apa can do it.
You see, this is the problem. When you're fighting each other, your eye is off the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going to say nothing.
So what happens if the MDC still comes and does better than these fledgling political parties?
That one's a given. MDC will always come out on top. Regardless of what happens, I've stated here many times, maybe not many times, but this will be a many time, that they will remain the biggest opposition party. It's whether they can become the governing party that we should. That's the issue.
I think we must. I don't know if Ben Yufu, you have anything else, because I think that was pretty much what we had for today. Have we forgotten anything comprehensive? I don't think that anything else has happened.
Register to vote. Centers. The district centers are still open. There's 63 of them around the country. She said that Justice Chigumba said that they will close 12 days after nomination day. So the president announced that elections will be happened. I don't know how long till nomination day from that period. Then nomination day happens. Candidates submit their nominations. And then 12 days after that, registration closes. They wrap up the thing. Yeah. Voters roll.
Sorry. We forgot to congratulate NRZ on the acquisition delivery of coaches, of trains, and
that 400 million investment. So Penyu, you were talking about 3 billion. We're getting 400 million.
We found
400 million. Kwasara 2.6 billion. So maybe.
But then 1.5 year Afrimax banker straight to RBZ, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay. So that's now. So now 1.9 billion. So there's 2.1 billion that we need to...
And then Anunyeba Mangujga was saying, please don't expect immediate results in the economy.
You can't call him Anunyeba Mangujga.
Ah? Uh-huh? Isn't that his middle name? What's his actual middle name?
John something.
John Panonetsa Mangujka, I think.
Is his name actually Panonetsa?
Let me see.
Yeah, it is.
You know, yeah, we shouldn't Panonetsa. Put people
you
just, like.
Oh, but did you think I was making it up? Did you think I got it from nowhere?
No, you said Anonyepa.
With your penchant for hyperbole. And those who create hyperbole, I don't know.
His name is not Anonyepa, it's Panonetsa.
And look, they sound the same thing. Yeah, okay, I don't.
Actually, just got it wrong.
Anyway,
I was using it as an adjective, not as a noun.
So anyway, that's us for today. Clearly, there is
actually, please, guys. Yeah. This guy got his his degree from Washington International University, which is not even accredited by any institutes in
the... Do you know if we spend the day on degrees and we've done a partial episode...
But I'm just saying the Reserve Bank governor that we've entrusted with this 1.5 billion... No, it's actually a bigger point, but as an honesty, guys...
No, I completely understand. But this, again...
1.5 billion, yeah, which we're looking... economy. Degree from a university address Washington.
It's www.washint.edu. What are you saying?
And that's the. I mean, look, it's okay. Mongo to new dispensation.
He's from the old.
Oh, it says it's a cyberspace university founded in 1994. Oh my God. Why? Oh, actually, President Joseph Kabila went there.
Kabila was shooting his father. He didn't go anywhere.
Kabila went there.
Where did he get his okay, he got his bachelor's and his master's from UZ.
Yeah.
We have no problem. I just wonder why.
There's a lot of Africans who got their degrees from here.
Yeah, and what do they all have in common?
They're all thieves.
Anyway, guys, so yes, on the issue of we found, how much have we found? 1.9 billion. So we need to account for 2.1 billion. If anyone knows, you know, what's happening there, please let us know. But also,
and how many jobs?
We need a wider investigation of what's actually happening in the economy. Maybe we'll bring on some actual economists and people in those industries to give us a breakdown of what's actually happening. Otherwise, you guys know where to find us, Politics and Beyond on at Poly and Beyond ZW on Twitter, Politics and Beyond on Facebook, Chris Charamba on all social media. Hit me up.
Upenyu Makoni on all social media. Say hi.
Taunt.
And
Mimi.
Taurash.
No, sorry, I'll use my time to just say quick shout out to Zororo and his upcoming show, Point of View, I think. It's called Point of View, yeah?
Yeah.
And it'll be on his Instagram, Facebook Live, and YouTube, I think. It'll be good to come. But poster yake anzina someone on Twitter, they looked like he was running for Harare East.
Constituency.
But
we need to have the Harare East episode one of these days.
Alright, but yeah, no. So yeah, no, please, yeah, do guys, check out Point of View. It starts on the 26th of February, which is also coincidentally my birthday. That's it for me.
Alrighty,
cool. Okay, my presents from the people. When you just casually
we'll deal with that.
In my family, the birthday boy actually buys presents for people.
Hey, okay. So what are we expecting? Politics and anyway, let's talk about this offline. Thanks a lot, guys. Cheers. And now, Capital 263.